KALW.
All them would come, they'd all meet up there. I don't care where they went or wherever. All the clubs, whatever fairs was going on, they was going to come there.
Today, how one music venue in West Oakland holds the neighborhood's history and its future.
So one of the guys in the band said, Ronnie, remember when Sessa said this is like walking down 7th Street? I said, oh, yeah. I said, it's walking down 7th Street.
We stroll down 7th Street to visit Esther's Orbit Room. Then we talk about the global rise of African dance music.
The African continent in general as a place that is really rich in music and influential music that can take over the world.
A chat with Sheho Letswalo of KALW's music show On Repeat. I'm Hanat Baba and this is Cross Currents. If you take BART between the East Bay and San Francisco, you may not notice the 7th Street corridor right below the tracks near the West Oakland station. In its heyday, 7th Street competed with San Francisco's Fillmore District for the title of Harlem of the West. It was the backbone of a thriving Black neighborhood. Today, there's a move to revive it through one of its most iconic nightclubs, Esther's Orbit Room. KALW's Cheryl Kaskowitz has more.
It's about 9 a.m. on a Friday morning, and there aren't very many other people around on 7th Street. Things are pretty quiet, if you don't count the regular sound of BART trains directly above us going in and out of the West Oakland station.
Hi, Cheryl. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Sorry I'm a little late.
Oh, that's okay. I did a little trash pickup while I was waiting.
That's Noni Session. This morning, she's wearing a black sweater to guard against the chill, and her long black braids spill out of a gray knit hat. She's one of a network of neighborhood leaders committed to rebuilding 7th Street, and that includes the occasional trash pickup. We're meeting in front of a squat two-story building that looks like it was abandoned a while ago. The white facade is painted gray in places and decorated with a few large graffiti tags in black and red. An empty sign holder juts out from a metal grille high above the door. But when Noni opens the metal door and we go inside, it has a completely different feeling. Like whoever had been running this place just stepped out for a minute. There's a dark wooden bar that stretches along the entire wall to the right, with a row of red leather bar stools. Behind the bar, next to the cash register, Noni shows me a small black and white photo in a silver frame. It's a mid-century portrait of a young black woman, glamorous with makeup and hair done, gazing dreamily at the camera.
This is Esther, as a young woman, looking all fancy.
The picture is of Esther Mabry. In her day, she was known as the Grand Lady of 7th Street. And this is Esther's Orbit Room. It's a key piece of West Oakland's history and its future. And when Esther first came to Oakland, 7th Street was a very different place. West Oakland had been an industrial center since the late 19th century, when it became the last stop on the Transcontinental Railroad.
And what changed really dramatically in 1940 was the Second World War.
That's Mitchell Schwartzer. He's an architectural historian and the author of the book Hellatown, Oakland's History of Development and Disruption.
Tremendous buildup of industries supplying the American, military with ships and airplanes and ordnance, all sorts of things. You know, because of all the jobs, there's a big migration of people from the American South, white and black.
That's when Noni Sessions' family came. She's a third-generation West Oaklander with deep roots in the neighborhood. Here she is again.
My grandparents migrated in the 1940s. My grandmother was a nurse, and my grandfather worked on the railroad.
And that period is also when Esther moved to West Oakland. She was in her early 20s then and came from Palestine, Texas. Here she is in a 2002 oral history interview from the Oakland Public Library's African American Museum and Library, talking about why she moved west.
Everybody was coming north. The war was going on. and everybody was making good money. They were talking about how much money they was making. All the clubs and everything was real going good, and everything was having a good time. Because it was a great place to live, and the money was good, and all the army base, we was connected with all of them.
Esther got a job as a waitress at Slim Jenkins Supper Club. It was the fanciest of the nightclubs that lined 7th Street during its heyday. John Singer's, the Kit Kat, the House of Joy, the Rex Club, the Main Event. By 1950, she had saved enough working at Slim Jenkins to open her own place on 7th Street, which she called Esther's Breakfast Room. But it wasn't just breakfast. Here's Esther again, talking about the food she loved to cook.
Greens and stews and oxtails and peach cobblers and chicken and dressing, turkey and dressing, ham, baked ham, pork chops, fried chicken, chicken and dumplings, cornbread, chitlins. Kept me in business with chitlins. Nobody had chitlins but me. I started everybody having chitlins.
Everyone knew that Esther stayed open late, including the man who had become Esther's husband, William Mabry.
Yeah, he was hungry. He was looking for something to eat. And every place was closed up. That's how we met.
Even as Esther's breakfast room thrived, trouble was beginning for West Oakland. It started slowly. Military supply industries shut down after the war. Then, with the rise of the automobile in the 1950s, the railroad industry shrank, and factories started to move out of West Oakland. All of this meant fewer jobs available in the neighborhood. Mitchell Schwartzer explains what came next, beginning in the mid-1950s.
For a period of about 20 years, West Oakland undergoes the most tumultuous and destructive set of actions aimed at remaking it of anywhere in Oakland. And those actions are not aimed at helping the people who live in West Oakland, who by 1960 are largely Black and largely poor.
First was the freeway, a double-decker giant that was finished in 1958.
That freeway just carves into West Oakland, you know, in a brutal way, and takes out a big chunk of West Oakland and divides West Oakland into two, separated by a concrete wall.
Then, under the banner of urban renewal, the government demolished more than 6,000 buildings in West Oakland. They called it slum clearance to make way for new urban development projects. And in 1963, the U.S. Postal Service decided to build a huge regional distribution center along the south side of the 7th Street corridor.
They plan 18-block demolition. More 18 blocks now are demolished, some of which are on 7th. So first the freeway, then the urban renewal, and now the post office takes out 18 more blocks. Just total demolition.
But Esther Mabry weathered all of it. In the early 1960s, Esther and William were able to buy the Esther's Breakfast Room building, and they expanded it to have space for live music. And when that building was seized by eminent domain for the new post office, they moved to the other side of 7th Street, where the building stands today. They called their new club Esther's Orbit Room as a nod to the space race that had grabbed public attention at the time. And the music stayed on 7th Street, too. Big-name artists who were selling out their shows at top venues, the Fillmore Auditorium, the Avalon Ballroom, Oakland Auditorium, would come to Esther's afterwards. Here's Esther again.
Because we stayed open all night, they would leave there and come in and eat. All of them would come, they'd all meet up there. I don't care where they were at or where was all the clubs, whatever fairs was going on, they was going to come there and eat. Teddy Gibson and Lou Ross and Al Green, Al King, ZZ Hill, Big Mama Thornton, T-Bone Walker, most all the big entertainers, B.B. King.
Esther also made sure to hire local talent.
One of my first gigs in 1967 was at Esther's Orbit Room.
That's the blues guitarist, Ronnie Stewart. He grew up in West Oakland, about a block from 7th Street.
I was at Fremont High School. I had to be 16 or 17. Esther was so nice. She'd always give the young kids a chance.
Ronnie Stewart is now the executive director of the West Coast Blues Society and leads the group's Caravan of All-Stars. As a blues historian, he's dedicated to preserving the history of the Oakland Blues, which took root at the clubs on 7th Street. And he sees Esther Mabry at the heart of this history. He says she gave him the name for this tune that became his group's theme song when they were playing at Esther's Orbit Room.
Miss Esther walked by, and then the bass started playing. And then she said, "Woo, that's Walking Down 7th Street." How she done like that? We'd forget the name sometimes. Some one of the guys in the band said, "Ronnie, remember Miss Esther said this is like Walking Down 7th Street?" I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "It's Walking Down 7th Street."
But in 1974, the next piece of urban infrastructure to hit West Oakland was built directly overhead.
Bart makes a decision in Oakland. You know, unlike in San Francisco downtown or Oakland downtown, where Bart is underground, or the Mission District, where it's underground, or Berkeley, in West Oakland, it's not underground. It's above ground. And in order for it to be above ground, they demolished the entire side of 7th Street, one side.
Back at Esther's Orbit Room today, I ask Noni Session if living in West Oakland, you get used to the regular sound of BART. Thinking about that brought her to reflect on what life was like in the neighborhood before she was born.
It is part of the soundscape, but it wasn't. There were clearly there were birds and children playing before about 1969. And at that point, this corridor supported over 250,000 Black folks with entertainment, essential businesses, cobblers, tax accountants, dry cleaners, restaurants.
She remembers what it was like to grow up in the neighborhood in the 1970s and 80s, years after the freeway went in.
Our grocery store, our house, our home, our playground stood in the shadow of that freeway.
She says the freeway really did function like a concrete wall through the neighborhood because it was filled in underneath.
Dirt rock, hundreds of feet of dirt rock and cyclone fence for 3 miles. So you had to walk like 3 blocks to get through an underpass and then run under it really quickly. But it wasn't like it was a few feet. It was like 500 feet you had to run to not be plowed over by the Mack trucks.
She also remembers when the Cypress Freeway collapsed many years later during the Loma Prieta earthquake in 1989.
It was nighttime until I was 14 years old. And then when it fell, the sun came out.
After that tragic event, the community fought to keep another freeway from being built in its place. And Esther Mabry never gave up on West Oakland. Here's what she said in that 2002 oral history interview.
It's my greatest ambition to see it come back like it was before.
She kept the Orbit Room open as long as she lived. It didn't close until 2011, a year after she passed away. And now, back at Esther's Orbit Room, Noni Session is showing me how she and others are continuing to fight for the future of West Oakland. As the executive director of the East Bay Permanent Real Estate Cooperative, or EB PREC, Noni is leading a community effort to bring Esther's Orbit Room back to life as a cultural center to serve as the hub of a reimagined 7th Street corridor. And that makes perfect sense because Esther's has always been more than a nightclub or a place to get a late night bite. At its heart, Esther's has always functioned as a kind of community center. When you first walk into Esther's Orbit Room today, your eyes are immediately drawn upward to the low, dark ceiling that sparkles with gold glitter.
So that ceiling, is that original?
Yeah, everybody loves the glitter ceiling. When they come and see the bar sort of still living the way it lived historically, their first question is, are you guys going to keep the glitter ceiling? It's pretty early in the morning, so we didn't run into people yet, but it's hard for me to even do my trash pickup or interviews because to the person, there's a person with a deep, meaningful story to tell, either about food, companionship, their memories of Esther, And you can see the like glint in their eye when they tell it. People were like, you're opening my home again. And I'm like, yeah, that clearly that's what we're doing.
The new vision for Esther's is that it will have food, indoor and outdoor space for performances, gallery space, community space, and arts residencies. As Noni points out, it's nothing new.
Esther's Orbit Room served as a community center, as a food hub, and as an art space for 5 decades.
So what music will be played in this Esther's of the future? What will walking down 7th Street sound like?
Well, I'm told by all the old people that there must be jazz and blues. It's a given. So the happy hours we've done so far have been strictly jazz and blues. But there is a lot of traditions that have come out of jazz and blues. Funk and soul have come out of jazz and blues. Hip hop has come out of jazz and blues. Spoken word.
I ask Noni if there's any particular soundscape that she imagines when she thinks about the future Esther's Orbit Room.
Fantastic Negrito would be one of those soundscapes that comes across for Esther's.
Lost in a crowd.
I think that's who stands out to me first and foremost.
Loud, lost in the wilderness, oh, the sound.
In Oakland, I'm Cheryl Kaskowitz for Cross Currents. Cheryl is a fellow in our KALW Audio Academy, our tuition-free audio storytelling program for adults. And applications are open now, but not for long. The deadline to apply is this Sunday, April 21st, so get on it. And on Saturday, Esther's Orbit Room is hosting the second annual 7th Street Thrives Black Earth Day celebration and corridor cleanup. You can find a link to those details and more about blues shows in Oakland at klw.org/crosscurrents. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. You may have noticed a new music show airing on KALW called On Repeat. Every Friday, KALW's Shejo Letzualo interviews KALW DJs about the music they love, their inspirations, and how they choose their sets that they play on KALW. And she asked them about 3 songs they can't stop listening to and the stories behind their selections.
You're listening to On Repeat, the show where KALW music programmers share the songs they can't stop listening to. I'm Cheryl Letzualo.
It's all about music discovery. And Shejo, who's from South Africa, has been a music lover since she was a kid. I talked with her recently about what role music plays in her life and the rise of African dance music on the global stage.
It's a love song called...
Yeah, I grew up in a really music-loving household. My parents were always playing music, and I'd wake up on Sunday mornings and it could be anything from old school R&B to Queen to ABBA. We'd go on family road trips, and no matter where we went, we'd always stop at these music shops called Musica, where they would sell CDs, and my mom, my brother, my dad, and I would all have a chance to pick our own CDs, and then we'd all play them in the car. So, you know, when you had 5 CD changes in the car, and so everyone had a turn to play their song. There's one song by a group called the African Jazz Pioneers, and they'd been making music, I believe, since the 50s and 60s, and then in during apartheid in Cape Town, Sophia Town, when it got razed, they were actually, you know, stopped making music, and they came back and had this album live in Montreux Festival. And so we had that album. And there's a song on it called Baby in Tsware, which means, in my language, which means baby, hold me by the ears, which is just a silly kind of thing. But we'd always like listen to that song, and my whole, like in the car, we'd be listening to it, jamming to it. And then we'd like take the CD out of the car and then bring it into the house so that we just like keep dancing to it and just like have that song on repeat, basically. And it's kind of like our family's anthem. But yeah, it's very sort of being silly with that song, because it's a really silly song, so like grabbing your ears and singing along.
You're from South Africa, and I wanted to ask you about the rise of amapiano. This music from South Africa, taking the world by storm. There's the artist Tyla, who just won the Grammy for Best African Music Performance this year. Make me sweat, make me harder. I'm wondering how you're feeling about this kind of rise of this music from your country, how you're, what you think about it, but how you're feeling about it as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really great thing. It's always, as a South African, it's always a really, really great thing when South African artists of all kinds of things get recognized on the world stage. It feels like it's long overdue, as overlooking South Africa and I think the African continent in general as a place that is really rich in music and influential music that can take over the world, as we're seeing with amapiano right now.
Now let's get to, why did you want to host this program on repeat? Tell us about the beginnings of it.
Yeah, it's a very selfish endeavor. I just love music, love talking about music. And we have such amazing music programmers. And when I hear them talk about music, about how they pick the songs that they play for us every week, you know, what they're thinking about in terms of themes or the deep work that they're doing, it just made me think, I want everybody else to understand the work that it takes to kind of be a music programmer, to put together a set, and also just music discovery, because that's, you know, you never get tired of hearing a new song or discovering something that you might love. And they're just, all of the music programmers are just a treasure trove of music across genres, across times, world music, local music. It was just something that I felt like I would love our KALW listeners who haven't discovered it before to get to hear something, and we get a little snippet of what each show is about.
Right. And I'm going to ask of you what you ask your DJs on repeat, which is, you ask your guests, what are three songs you can't stop listening to?
Okay, yes. I hate that question.
You hate that question?
Because it's so difficult.
You ask it but, of others, and you hate it for yourself.
I know. Yeah. It's cruel that way. Okay, so the first song, I call this my fight song right now. It gets me really jazzed up. It's a song called Gift Horse by a band called Idols. It has like a really, you know, energizing beat, and it seems to be singing the theme of this album. They keep repeating, love is the thing. And so even though it sounds kind of aggressive, it has this sort of running, powerful theme that love is the thing. So I love that one. The next song is called The Racket by an artist, Lucy Rose. I don't know what it is, just the first seconds of the song, just it hits me right away. It's got this almost jazzy, I guess, piano scale that goes like up and up and up and down. And it's right up my street. I love songs that you can sing in the kitchen when you're cooking. It's, you know, you can dance a little bit to this one. So this is kind of that vibe. And the last song is Hands on Me by an artist called Nourished by Time. And he produces everything himself and he sings. I saw him opening for this band called Dry Cleaning. And he has this amazing deep R&B voice, like really old school R&B, like deep, you know, Sunday R&B voice. And that's what he says that he was influenced a lot of by. But then it also has, you know, this kind of dance club vibe to it. So it kind of mixes. Yeah, I love to dance. That's me. Hand on me, hand
on me. That's Sheho Letswalo, host of the KALW show On Repeat, where she talks to KALW DJs about the music they love. On Repeat airs every Friday morning at 7:45 and in the afternoon at 2:45. You can find all the episodes at kalw.org/onrepeat. Today's Cross Currents team includes Pat McMahon, Molly Blair Salier, James Rowlands, Ganadi Joe Johnson, Victor Tenz, Shirin Adil, Lisa Morehouse, Angela Johnston, Marissa Ortega Welch, Sunni Khalid, and Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.